remember 1956, they'll pick me up one night after work. We had almost a new car. She's on the way to pick me up, and two gravel trucks was behind her. Someone stopped in front of her, upgrade, so a two-lane highway, so she had to just anchor it down, stop. This first gravel truck right by just hit her solid, broke her neck. And the doctors, we have Wayne's little baby, and doctors were saying, well, you know, I said, you need to stay in the hospital. She said, I'm not going to leave my baby if something happens to me, and she's not going to do it, you know. Because Wayne was adopted, and there was people that said their two bits and two things that they liked to say, and so Betty wasn't going to, she said, no way she's going to leave her son with anybody. And she just gritted her teeth, and she was really in bad shape. And that was on I don't know what night it was. It was about, I walked up the highway where I was at, and I waited and waited, and finally her and her brother came. Must have been about 8 o'clock at night. We should have been there about 6:30 or latest. Well, the next Sunday morning, I was supposed to work in the oil field, doing something. And I did what I was supposed to do, and I was back by the house by around 9 o'clock. So I thought, well, I'd left real early. So I thought, oh, well, maybe I can go to church. When I came into church, they had just finished praying, and the pastor didn't know anything about this car wreck at all. And he come in, and he was sensitive to the Spirit of God. And he says, you know, he said, I sent someone here has a problem, and he says, I think it concerns something broken or something like that. But anyway, wasn't totally, you know, he didn't. But anyway, when he prayed, well, Betty said she knew that God healed her neck. And so I came in the door just as the same as Betty was upstairs and God healed my neck. So I thought, boy, I've never seen nothing like this happen. You know, I've been sort of out in the frigid zone. I've never seen really great things like that happening, but I knew her. I knew the x-rays, and I knew that she should be put in the hospital. She was so stubborn, she said, no, she wasn't going to do it. And so she went the next day, and the doctor, Dr. Joe, was our personal doctor there. He said, Betty, there's no break. And she just, boy, Betty's mother used to tell Dr. Joe, says, boy, God's the answer. He said, yeah, I know. He was a Jew. And, you know, he was real, and he's a good man. But he really started changing his thinking about whether God could touch your heart and your life and bring healing to your body. And it was from that time on things just started happening. But God's goodness about his, you know, he comes in a way that we don't, all of us, it's mysterious. It's supernatural. It's not like the other week when we was up there, that man comes up, pastor, pray for him. He has his crutches, and I didn't think anything about it, so I just prayed for him. He come back in a minute, and he threw his crutches away. You know, I didn't try to get that drastic, but he said he didn't need it. So it was, he was really jumping around. But I started seeing that God was beyond what men had thought for him. And today, the Lord really laid in my heart, says, you know, there's a lot of people, maybe like I was back then, you might be the first time, but God is truly real. And he's more personal than what we see right here. He will come to that point that you'll realize that you can make it without everybody else. They can all leave you, but you can't make it without him. He's that special. And he wants to have that special touch in your life. And the Lord really laid him on this morning. We're not all Benny Hinn's. We're not all Oral Roberts. But God uses us mysteriously where he has you. You're for a special reason, for your presence may touch someone that you don't even realize, that the presence of God has become so apparent on you that this one is seeing you, and you may not sense it, you know, but God is seeing through you a revelation to who he is through you. Understand what that means? It means that he wants what you have. You start growing in these kind of areas. I don't know why I'm saying this. Father God just touches this day in a special way. Lord, we feel your presence. We know that you're here. Father, we just pray that you make yourself real in this little room here, in Jesus' name. We pray that you touch our hearts. And Father, if anyone receives one of these, whatever said here, we pray that whatever goes out, it'll touch someone. Father, we claim that lives will be touched. And Father, that's what it's all about. We all came this world as beggars, as out of condition, out of sorts, all these wrong things. But when we met Jesus that day, all things started happening. And Lord, your word declares we become a new creation. Father, you took those things, the bondage that had us, that we were involved in and imprisoned at those times. You put those in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered no more. And we become a new creation. And that new creation, you want to grow in us. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. I had a couple of weeks ago, I said I had a, my boss's wife had sent me that letter. It didn't really touch me till this morning. Daddy asked me if I'd say something for her, and I said, I don't know what to say. So I started thinking about Thanksgiving. But the scripture, while I was there in church, God started speaking to me, giving me the revelation of the scripture. And it was so inspiring when he did it. It was beyond my comprehension. And Brother Cliff, if you got it real fast, you can read Hebrews 6:7. I think maybe you did once before, but I just want to read it again.
For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God.
Okay. Read the next verse down to it.
That which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, it is nigh under cursing, whose end is to be burned.
Praise God. That's basically, those two scriptures are real powerful. I didn't really know that until the Lord speaks to me in some of the most unconventional places when you're supposed to be listening. But the Lord spoke to my heart. There's a big revelation in this right here, and hopefully it'll come out, because all of us, we've heard from if we've been in Sunday school, church, any, that the Bible says that we're supposed to grow and let our light so shine, and also we plant, we might have a 30-fold, 50-fold, and 100-fold ministry. All these are, we've heard of a lot of different sermons about this. But the Bible says here that the rain cometh down upon it, brings forth herbs. The rain is the important commodity what I'm speaking about. We can get out and dress the field. The natural, we can get out and plow, we can disc, we can do all the things, and we can plant, we can sow, we put in fertilizer, we do all the right things, right time of the year, we do all these things well. But if we don't have a rain, nothing happens. And it's basically the same spiritually. We can get out here and labor, and if our attitude's wrong, we're not going to see no rain. If we are in sin, we're not going to see no rain. God uses us as long as forgiven. And that forgiving is every day we seek God and we call upon Him and say, Lord, forgive me where I failed you. We all come in that category. It's forgiving up to date with our sins to God. We're not putting them down and trying to hide them, but we're there trying to grow toward the Lord. But the Lord inspired me this morning to let me know, as we praise God and are thankful to God as does Thanksgiving, that becomes, He appropriates it as our rain that He puts as we praise Him, that our prayers will be answered, that what we're doing will have a rain from God on it. And how we achieve it is through our, what we have toward Him. It's not so much what we do, but it's more how we praise Him, how we thank Him, because He will even help us in the endeavoring of getting a ministry. Maybe He's got a ministry for us. We don't even need. He's got a place all set out here, and you don't have to even go in doing land clearing. You don't have nothing. It's already set and ordered. All you got to do is claim it in Jesus' name. We do that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Our hearts are the very focus point, or very pinpoint in our relationship to God. Now, the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. And you might say, well, David went out and killed a lot of people, and he did a lot of these things, and he was desirous of another woman, and all these things which come to pass. How could God say he's a man after his own heart? It's because David, I believe, had a deep belief in God, a desire to serve God, even though he had a few problems. God deals with our problems, and it's something that nobody else's business, actually. It's God, and He wants to share that with Him, that He'll help us, that we don't have to be ashamed, but we can be enlightened, because He lists that that heavy load that so brings us down because we're ashamed. We're too afraid to let someone know what's really happening. It's not any of their business, but God knows it. And basically it comes down to the right to the seat of it, that He wants to work in the deepest part of your heart. Down where you're made. Down beyond your six senses. Five senses? The sixth sense, I guess, is God. But He wants to get in the innermost part of our heart. And that's the part that many people, when they accept Jesus, and I'm not judging them, but I know it's like I was, well, I'll serve the Lord on 5 days a week or 4 days a week or 2 days a week, but I'm going to have a little time for me because I just don't want to make a too big commitment. A lot of us have seen that, and a lot of times because people, churches, want to grow, they don't really say anything about that. But there needs to be a deep love in our hearts that we want that to take place, even though it's not taking place, but we have a desire for it to come to pass. That we're willing to step out in faith, believing that God will reward those who diligently seek Him. And that we all come to this place when we start out with God, we actually step out into the deep. I remember sermons talking about stepping out in the water. Sometimes the Bible says as Ezekiel, when they stepped out for different steps till you got where you could. I hear preachers preaching, you get out to where you're no longer stepping, you're swimming. But that's what God wants us, to get out there where we cannot reach bottom. We have to trust in Him. And I believe that is the greatest miracle of our lives is when this takes place, that we can realize that God is going to take care of us. Whatever comes our way, He is an absolute way maker. He's our peacemaker. He is the one that heals us. He's the one that touches. He's the one that increases this in us to things that are obtainable only through Him. All things are possible through God. And we cannot do these. Anything that we do, we can't make it happen, can't be developed in ourselves. We come up and appropriate ourselves to Him, but from that time on, we have to put our trust in a living God. As the Bible talks about the rain and the latter rain, but these are all growths, I believe, in our growth toward the Lord. We come as a child. We come as a babe to Christ. And the Bible says that what a babe is one that does not really know what the word means. This is where we grow in. This is where we mature in this word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This may feel dry here to you today, but I believe it's very obtainable, and it'll put you feet where you can have that love of God. Doesn't come every day of your life. You can have a good day with Jesus. You can have a good day when people are having a bad day. The joy of the Lord can be your strength because you have a foundation. There's nothing, when you come down to bedrock, there's nothing, you can't go sink no farther. I worked the diversion dam. We come down a certain level, it was like green clay. But when you got down, it was tough, tough, tough. And that dam now is more or less standing on that. It's like a floating dam, but it's solid. Because that firm foundation is not going to move. That firm foundation is going to stay anchored sure. And that's why God is, that we can put our trust, believe in Him, that He will never leave us, He'll never forsake us, that our focus is on Him and what He wants us to do, that we have, when He relates to the things of His calling, we don't try to shirk it off, we don't try to dismiss it out of our minds, saying, oh, I didn't hear that right. No, you receive it with love. You say, Lord, I want to do my best. I want to do what You called me to do. I want to visit the sick. I want to do whatever. I want to help those wherever You call me to. If it means me, go to Africa or wherever. You want to be available to the call of God. And that's what scares a lot of people. They says, I've served God, but I just don't want to feel that I'm in any calling or anything like that. But when we do this, we actually cripple ourselves to a certain degree. Because I don't believe that God will go against our... He sees what we are. But if we have a desire, I believe that when God has us to go someplace, we have that hidden desire that wants to be complete in Him. God sees us. He fashioned us in His image, His likeness, and it won't come over. That's what happened to me. I said, I don't want to have to go back to Bible school. Betty's going to leave me if I go back to Bible school. Well, that wasn't in God's plans anyway. He seen that I wouldn't have done good in Bible school probably anyway. But God seen me as I am. And it took me from where I was to where I am now. And I'm not the same as I was then. Thank God. And we grow in the grace and the admonition of the Lord. We grow through His presence. It's the most fun you'll ever have in life. It's no, I thought about all the things that God has let me see. I could write books about wonderful blessings. People get tired of hearing them. They don't really want to hear them. But God is alive. He's real and He's faithful. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. As Israel followed God, God will, you can follow Him this day. He stays true. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. You say, well, you know, we're not the same generation, the same time that Israel back in those days. God doesn't change. He's the same. He changes not. We change. We coming through different times. We're in the 21st century. We're in a time that we've Daniel speaks about. We've learned a learning. But the Bible says also, when you see these things come to pass, look up your redemption nigh. So we are probably one of the later generations. If you have a time capsule that could go back in time a few years from now, you would find out that we're probably in the last status of the time before that Jesus is coming. And He's preparing a people that's ready to receive Him. And there's been a lot of soothsayers and a lot of those who have saying, where's this promise that is coming? Since the fallen fell asleep, all things continue from the beginning. There's a lot of people who don't believe that Jesus is coming. That's, if they don't receive it, that's between them and God. We don't have to worry about it. We can state that we believe it, and we must believe it down in here, that God is a rewarder to those that diligently seek Him. Israel was not made to go out and judge all the other nations. Israel was come to God that Israel would serve God out of their heart. And Israel did not take advantage of that, so Israel lost that first love. And one of the things that Israel was very incomplete is they were not thankful with God. They was really almost mean toward God. Their God's trying to help them, brings them out of the Red Sea and all these wonderful miracles. The whole army of Pharaoh, how did God just brought them out in the sea and their chariots and everything, and here Israel goes out free. But Israel could not see that. And that's what we're looking too much in what we're seeing. We don't look on who we are in Him. And that's what probably causes all of us to fail, is because we're looking within what we see. We're looking at people that we come with shoulders and walk with and those surroundings. And we compare ourselves when God says He's the one that we compare. We're to seek Him and Him only. And I know this doesn't conform to many people of pastors, and even though press their hearts there for a special reason, pastors to come, that people we might receive Jesus Christ. But there comes a time that God says, Oh church, you need to go beyond that. And that's what God's saying now. Praise God for the pastors. Praise God. But there's a time that we must make real, because God here a few years back told me that the churches could not take us beyond that level. We are coming in a time of great problems facing the church. The church that God was going to pour out His Spirit in the last day as the latter rain, the Spirit of God would come heavily upon those in the last hour, that they might receive grace, that they might receive pardon, not as a natural resort, but a natural release, but a supernatural power from God that would come down and touch His people from the very crown of their head, the very sole of their feet, that they might be on fire. And truly there would be many, many multitudes that be against that, because they said, truly this cannot be God. But God says, He says in His word that what's happening is going to come to pass. He says, many are called, but few are chosen. What does that mean? Many, many, many people are called, but few are chosen, because they have not let that latter rain grow in their heart. They have become grumblers. They become complainers. They become unthankful. They become opinionated with themselves. They got to know that. But God says, where He wants those who are private, that they're complete in every situation, that they're more than conquerors through Him which loved Him, that we see ourselves not in achievers within ourselves, but we're more than conquerors with Him who loves us. With Jesus, there's a link. And our lives have to be with that. He is the missing link. And without Him, we're unproductive. We cannot make it. We cannot cope. Nothing shall be able to separate us from love of God. That's what God's saying. Nothing shall be able to separate my people. Nothing. Satan and his forces, nothing's going to be able to come against my people. God's saying this, and we're not aligning up with God. We're saying, I don't really see it that way. What I'm saying, God is the condition. He is the absolute truth. And if we're not in Him, we're out of that truth. We can accept it or reject it. That becomes the only part that God says that you have to do. make alliance with God, or go like the old kings that used to get up, other kings to go with them, try to go against Israel. They'd have alliances, and they'd come together and say, well, we'll put all of our armies out here, and we're going to come against Israel, and that's what's going to happen in the last days, that the alliance from all the worlds are going to, very shortly, are going to compass Israel, this little country of Israel, and they're going to come down as a menace to come against God's chosen people. But God's not going to let it happen. In that time, the people of God, the supernaturally, will be caught up and in the air, and they'll go away with God. And many won't even recognize it because they'll be too caught up in the world. They're going to be too caught up in what they're seeing. They're going to be too caught up because they haven't moved through the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is something to very well, to be at, to desire. It's very wonderful. It's very glorious. It's not a something that we can just say something. It's real. It's God Himself. It's God. The Holy Ghost is part of God. The Holy Ghost is God, and He wants us to achieve because He is God, and that's why the old devil came against Jesus. And he says he only gives half-truths. And if we can get through it, we're rid of Jesus, and then some 2,000 years ago, he says, we'll have a field day here upon this earth, and you'll see the church of the Lord Jesus Christ fall apart. But it was just the opposite. The old devil, when he gave Judas that sense of going and down, taking those 30 pieces of silver and receiving it, how it must have hurt his heart, and how he gave and deceived the world, and how the world came against Jesus. But that special gift through Jesus giving himself became the atonement, the pain of our sins, the pain of our redemption through the blood of the cross, that we will be able very shortly in that day to arise out of the pitfalls, the unbelief, all the I'd like to say what I'd like to say, but I can't say that. They want all the degradation that we find ourselves coupled with, that we're going to rise above that and be transported to Jesus. It's very plain. In that time, there's going to be a time of restoration for God's people, a time of rejoicing, a time of splendor, a time of wholesome living. It's going to be a time that we have to start planning now. And it's like that we need that ladder, we need that rain, a spiritual rain on our lives day by day. And it's something that we can't duplicate any rain. We can't hire water trucks to go in and water your fields. It takes the supernatural power of the rain from heaven. It's beyond water trucks. It's beyond, because water sometimes is salt. Water sometimes don't work, and water, we need the right water from God. If we have too much iron in this water, and we're spending the wells around this country here, has iron in its deposits, it'll plug up your radiators, and it plugs up our spiritual regulators too, when we want to imitate what God has for us. And there's many things that are questionable. That's why we need the whole counsel of God. We need the power, the anointed Spirit of God. There is no substitute for God. There is nothing to substitute what God has for us. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Glory. And He's coming down through the clouds of heaven very shortly. He's coming to inspire us that we might walk virtually without problems, that we might be able to be conquerors to those around about us. And we don't sense it within our own feelings. We sense it because we're uncovered. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall be under the shadow of the Almighty. And we become moved upon no longer by our own senses, but we're supernaturally protected by God Himself. What a wonderful change. And it puts down all this theory that we're going to get buried. I heard this morning many times people bring that in and they claim to be spirit-filled, but they're leaving the emphasis out that God is, He is, let's give God some credit. God's past to pour out His Spirit. People believe that they're led by the Spirit is they figured out here and God's going to anoint it, and so they call that being led by the Spirit. But God says, I am the Spirit and you surrender to me. There's a lot of difference. And that's where their hang-up is. I can see it very vividly. And I see they have something that they, and so when there's people like us that come in and move up in the Spirit, they think that we're fanatics, think we're beyond saving, we're beyond we're on the outside of heaven. But reality, those are the ones that have connected to God, and these others, not putting them down, because they have been a way for us, they've walked for us, they've been the ministers for us, but we need to realize that God uses people in this last hour, and He wants us to grow it toward Him. And the anointing is there. God anoints with the Spirit. You know, sacrifices, God looked to the sacrifice. And that's us. We're to give us the living sacrifice. You know, we can get out here and pay our tithes, as I say, or pay our taxes. We can do all these fundamental reasons. We can still be out of the closeness of God. God's people live in the secret place. They come as an attitude of praising Him, loving Him. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast, Lord. The humble shall hear them and be glad. You know, I heard of God letting me know that what I've just spoken has a tendency some people say, look how think that you're so wonderful. I'm not wonderful, but God is wonderful. God is sovereign. He is real. He's faithful. And I'm tired of these imps going around from the hell and bringing down God's people to a level that they can't achieve what God has for them. And if they lose out what they have, they're losing out eternity. Eternity is forever and ever and ever. Eternity is a long time off, and we need to take time to think what eternity is. It's a day of transformation. It's a day of taking through the times that we've maybe worn for a few years. We didn't waste this time. This time is not wasted. But if you live out here in yourself, you're going to waste this time. You're going to waste these years. We need to have our days numbered by God, numbered by the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory. And I truly believe in God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I believe in that old-fashioned walk with God. I believe in Him. I truly believe He is rewarded to those that diligently seek Him. I believe that He is our conquering King. He is our Savior. He's our Deliverer. And He is the Master of our soul. He is real. He is perfect. And perfection comes in Him as we're desirous of Him, that He waters us as we praise Him. He waters our sacrifice. He says, well done, my son, my daughter. Well done. I'm going to put rain. I'm going to water your sacrifice. And your sacrifice is going to grow as a living memorial, Lord thy God. For I'm going to choose you that I might walk above reproach, and I might walk in visitation by the Spirit of God, and I would walk in holy living. You know, people can't go. You can't duplicate the Spirit of God. There's nothing that will make you walk upright with the Holy Ghost. And I can contest people. I know they're not where they should be. And I face them. And they sort of mock me once a time. But I know that they're not living. What a wonderful day when you start living with God every day of your life. You can live for Him right now. You can achieve for Him now. And that's not beyond our capability. The Spirit of God is on me right now. But He wants us to rise by faith, believing He is a rewarder to those who diligently seek Him, to those who call upon Him. He is faithful. Oh, my church, said the Spirit of God, I'm here. My people might receive. My people might be blessed. For I say, this is not the same age as 50 years ago, said the Spirit of God. For I say at that time, my people were walking in my spirit, many, many, many. But I say from that time to this day, many have drawn back. They've drawn back in their own selves. And they've got content in the things that they have, the achievements that they have met in these last 50 years. They have achieved many, and I say their churches have grown to, they're no longer living on the edge like they once lived. They're no longer living in unoccupied buildings. They're no longer living in unmarked places. But I say in those days when they had their own identity, my spirit marked for them, my spirit talked with them, and my spirit was in them, and my spirit was through them, and my spirit moved mighty gifts of my spirit. And I say this day, many are lacking in the move of the spirit. Many don't even know what thou art talking about when you say you want to move through the spirit. They think it's done through the mechanics of just saying words. But I say this to my people, it's not just saying words, it's living realities of the oracles of God that I'm producing forth a peculiar people and bringing forth a mighty people that are peculiar in the eyes of the beloved. And I say those who have said my people are peculiar, I say they're losing out in their own wealth, their own strength. And I say in the time that they are very wealthy, this day they become paupers and they become victims of reality. With the law of the Lord thy God, thou shalt surely suffer, and thou shalt be unclean. For I say it takes holy living day by day to remain having a pure heart. My people must have strived. Look now. Now is it accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. My people, come to me. For those round about thee, come with an open heart, and I shall bless thee, and I shall anoint thee. But I say many people don't hear. And I say, I have no other way to choose them at that day, that they will be blinded. And I say, many will miss that call. I say many will make that day, but I say they will have to literally give their lives to make that day. But old man, old woman, for now, thou can live with me, and thou can live now, because thou art given in, and they're dying out the flesh this world. For those will die out now, and come the Lord their God, I will bless them, and they shall be leaders, and they shall be advanced ones in that last hour. For I say, those that are ready, when my calling comes, they will be blessed. And I say, there shall be rows of flowers. There shall be rows of great, mighty blessings that you cannot imagine. And my people that live through this are going to be honored in that time. They're going to be honored because they have stayed faithful. And I say, many who have gone before thee will come up to the grave at that time, and they will go on in too. And I say, they shall receive an honor also. But I say for those right now, because the particles are so strong from the powers of darkness and they live faithful right now, they're going to receive a mighty blessing. Hold on, my ones. Hold on, my one, because I'm coming soon. My blessing is with me. For those who have chosen to be this day, I shall surely find them, and they will wait upon me, and I shall see them. They cannot hide from my blessing, for I shall protect my people. And I say, the enemy shall come against my beloved, and they shall not be able to find thee, because I will be, my presence will be over thee, and he cannot come through the Lord thy God, and I shall shelter my beloved, and I shall keep my beloved, and they shall not have to be afraid no longer, for I shall give them strength this last hour, that they shall be delivered, saith the Spirit of God, that they might walk no longer as a consequence of man himself, but their ordination will come from the Spirit of God. I say, many this day have come through the ordination of men. But I, the Lord thy God, have chosen some now that are ordained by the Lord thy God. For I ordained Moses, and I ordained through the Bible, my beloved. I ordained Gideon. I ordained many, said the Spirit of God. I ordained David. I am not able to ordain my people this day, and I have ordained those right now that they have chosen to be my followers. And if they can believe this, thou shalt surely live. But if you renounce this, you will not live. For I know the end before the beginning. And I see it the fight. And I see it the fight of my people. That's what I have predicted through my word shall come to pass. And I say this land that thou livest in is on very soft ground. Ground that's not very promising to hold up weight. For I think things upon this earth are look good, but I say within it, there's cave-ins and there's problems. For I say many have built upon the sand. Many have built their ministries upon sand. Sand's this world is going to fall apart. And I say what looks well now very shortly will not look that well, says the Spirit of God. For I'm calling for those now who no longer have their foundations put upon the sand this world. The cares of this world, but they will have a supernatural foundation from heaven, and they shall have a visitation from God the Father, and they shall see the glory beyond them as that day approaches. Look to me, my beloved, and I shall keep thee. Be not afraid, for I'm beside thee, and I shall keep thee. And I say these truths that I'm coming forth is for thy betterment, that thou might grow, that thou might be determined, because I have spoken thee, and I feed thee with my love, I feed thee with my word, I feed thee with my blessing. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not. Cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. Be delivered. Be delivered. Be delivered in what you do. Be very deliberate in your messages. Be very up-to-date in your reality. Keep no sin in thy path. Walk above reproach. Live in my spirit. And I shall bless thee, and I shall touch thee. If thou shalt do this, thou shalt have happy days every day of thy life. And I say, even the imps of hell would come against thee, they shall not be able to overtake thee. For it's my delight to touch my beloved, to keep them in the times of offense, in the times of degradation, the times of pitfalls, of failures without me. But with me, all things shall be possible, and thou shalt have a supernatural walk, and thou shalt walk this way no longer, for day by day thou art walking toward heaven. And I say, when that day approaches, thou shalt walk just right into heaven. And that's what will take place, saith the Spirit of God. Glory to God.